World Watchers number 837. In the introduction of The Spear of Destiny, it says that Winston Churchill himself, the same Winston Churchill that didn't like us having the Nazi generals and admirals with their hands in the air, Winston Churchill himself was insistent that the occultism of the Nazi Party should not under any circumstances be revealed to the general public. In my library, I only have three books on the occult and the direct links to Himmler and Hitler. Winston Churchill was insistent. The failure of the Nuremberg trial to identify the nature of the evil at work behind the outer facade of National Socialism convinced him that it would take another three decades, 30 years or more, to pass before a large enough readership could be present to comprehend the initiation rites and the black magic practices of the inner core of the Nazi leadership. It would take three generations. Winston Churchill sadly witnessed the extent to which the Allied prosecutors, or rather the author of this book, rather, who put it together, witnessed the extent to which the Allied prosecutors at these trials for crimes against humanity lacked the moral imagination to perceive the apocalyptic countenance of civilization that had arisen in Germany between the two world wars, a civilization based upon magical Weltanschauung, I can't hope that's right, which substituted the swastika for the cross and the Church of Satan is to take away religion and worship the devil, that the devil is the one you worship. Now, the Allied prosecutors, which included Leon Jaworski, were people who, identical to the Warren Commission, the Watergate investigation, the Korea Gate, and certainly you see with the Iran-Contra, have confused and obscured, they've obscured the FEMA, the National Emergency Plans, the role of Ali North with these people in holding the atomic bomb. Well, he has been mentally investigated and found to lack certain parts of his reasoning or emotions, that he's responsible at one time for carrying around the signals for starting World War III. The Iran-Contra has been negligent across the board on about 40 issues that scream to be opened up, in the same way with the Nuremberg trial. The author of this book, the man who put it together, said he understood why a unanimous agreement had been made among the judges, and I never was aware of this. I read this a long time ago, but it didn't sink in. There was a unanimous agreement among the judges at Nuremberg to treat the accused Germans as though they were an integral part of the accepted humanist system of the Western world. To have admitted, even for an instant, what their defeated enemies were really like, to have lifted the veil, and think of Woodward and Casey's veil, Casey was part of that with the OSS, to have lifted the veil to reveal the real motives for such an astonishing reversal of values might have opened millions of people to the risk of a terrible corruption. See, their value was, we will not tell you, it is really another religion, just as the Moonies evolved in 1954. This was a long, long religion that worshipped Satan, worshipped evil, went into human sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and the judges and the court decided that the people around the world were not intellectually or emotionally able to handle what was the real motive behind that war, which has continued with the Korean War, Laotian War, Cambodia, Vietnam, in Chile, Brazil, the death squads, in Guatemala, El Salvador, in Pakistan, in Lebanon, all over the world, South Africa, Zaire, Uganda, Ethiopia, you name it. Each country is individually being decimated with people connected directly to these links that were set up after World War II under Otto Skorzeny and Reinhard Gehlen that continued their forces, but those people opposing these forces or opposing dictatorships never had a half a shake to understand how deep these rituals were in the very highest offices and officers of the land, and included the justices, the chief justices, and the courts, to not tell you what the motive is as the motive grew like a disease. It's like having cancer and a large amount of cancer, and the doctors are in agreement that they're not going to tell you about it for 30 years. The Spear of Destiny said it was apparent to Dr. Stein that a decision had been made on the highest political level to explain the most atrocious crimes in the history of mankind as simply being a result of mental aberration and the systematic perversion of natural instincts. It was thought expedient, in dry psychoanalytical terms, when considering the motives for incarcerating millions of human beings in gas ovens, rather than for them to reveal that these practices were an integral part of a dedicated service to evil power. And not only was it dedicated to that, but there was a vow for 1,000 years, and the vow was connected and continued by the silence of the judges and the courts into what was really going on behind the formation of Nazism. Then this spirit of destiny gets even more important to put together explanations that make sense today. I had it, as I say, in 1973, but I didn't comprehend it then. This book goes on, the publication of Aldous Huxley's The Doors of Perception heralded the kind of change in public opinion which Dr. Stein, a scientist and philosopher from Vienna, had anticipated. It attacked the prevailing skepticism regarding the validity of occultism. It attacked that skepticism and went into the higher levels of consciousness. And Aldous Huxley died in Santa Barbara the day John Kennedy was murdered, just coincidentally and very quietly, and he was also part of British intelligence and part of explaining for the first time, and maybe that's why he died then, the role of the occult and the role of the subconscious mind in getting deeper into what is happening to the human mind. Aldous Huxley had a commentary on his own experiences, transcending consciousness under mescaline, and he showed the power of inner space and projected that man is a bridge between two worlds. There's that good world that we think we are, the humanist, the kind, the Judeo-Christian, and then there is that satanic part of us. This little-known fact in the brain, nervous system, sense organs, he revealed function, and part of our brain protects us against what we would think would be an overwhelming intrusion of our total mind. It acts as a block, a reducing valve, to ration out that measly trickle of the kind of consciousness that keeps us alive so we can survive on the surface of this particular planet. Of course, when the goose-stepping Gestapo and the Blitzkrieg took place, there was no life, there was nothing. People were just stomped on, kicked out of their homes, thrown on trains and cars, and then put into ovens. That's when the reality hit them, and little trickles in their mind happened, probably from 1919 until they began to cook and were taken away and experimented upon, and Aldous Huxley talks about that. Dr. Stein, and again, he was the advisor to Winston Churchill. He was wanted by Hitler for the war purposes of continuing the knowledge of the occult. Dr. Stein predicted, because of his experiences in Vienna, that an indiscriminate use of mind-expanding drugs would sweep across America and Europe and provide millions of young people with a perilous and illicit path to revelation for which the vast majority would be totally unprepared. And that explains, through Dr. Stein and British intelligence and Winston Churchill and William Sullivan and Alan Dulles of the OSS, who was working with Himmler's liaison, why Alan Dulles ordered 1 million, or 100 million rather, LSD made at Sandoz Lab, that's IG Farben, to be distributed to the youth in America to change their minds, to bring out that darker part that would service the future, to make the future army and indoctrinate them with these drugs and take away that illusion of kindness or sweetness or gentleness. And as we became altruistic during the 60s and cared about Agent Orange or killing the Vietnamese, then whammo, out came Alan Dulles and the CIA with all of their medicals and combination of medicals called mind expansion, mind altering, that made people begin to murder each other. You see one murder after the other. They say it was drug induced. A man kills four members of his family, they kill their mother and father. They gun down 8, 10 of their best friends, and then there's a mass murder that's killing 120, and 62 sacrifices, and 120. I'm beginning to pull, as I said before, out of my files. I'm separating now and cleaning out files I've had for years, and I'll find occult murders, 78 children, another occult series, 120. And when I put it all together, I'll share it with you and write it up in some form. this has been going on. I didn't want to see it. It never made sense why our intelligence community was getting 100 million LSD to give to us at home. What was wrong with us? What was wrong with our minds? Well, the purpose, obviously, with Alan Dulles of the OSS and working with Heinrich Himmler and Alan Wolf, they were getting ready to change us into their way of thinking, to see the world their way. And what we see now is madness, suicide, young people's suicide, teenagers, depressions, all kinds of insanity that never happened before, but fit in exactly to the stated goals of the kinds of people as Himmler. And this Spirit of Destiny said Dr. Stein believed that the craving to experience transcendent awareness through the use of drugs would be the inevitable reaction to what was known as petrified religious dogmatism and materialism and complacency of the established order of the West. If your religion is too boring, if your parents are too materialistic, if you want too many good things, hey, take this acid, take this dope, take whatever it is, angel dust, PCB. What were the statistics last week at Stanford? 40% of the students take angel dust. But we don't know where they're going to be 5 years from now, and maybe they'll be turned into the armies of the future. Little do they know, as they have this big high or kick or the fun of the evening, where it's going to take them later if the purpose was to take them somewhere else. And this book continues that as we turned aside, the purpose was to turn people away from the religious dogmatism and materialism and then get involved with the cataclysmic events such as Hitler's war. He intended to launch the content of the Spear of Destiny, into contemporary scene. And the spear, of course, was the spear that pierced Christ when he died on the cross, that was taken to Vienna, that influenced Hitler through a very interesting circumstance where he heard an explanation of whoever has the spear has the power. And this book says that the spear was a big influence for the vast public, and they were convinced, the people that studied it, that this would have a part in people's awareness later. In the summer of 1957, 3 days after he made the decision to start work upon the book, this Dr. Stein collapsed in London of an untimely death. The person who took over his work said, "I met him after discovering a book he wrote, a definitive book on the Holy Grail, on the medieval age and the legendary quest for the Holy Grail, and studied with him the occult practices and the practice of mind expansion." The man who wrote this book worked with Dr. Stein before he passed away and explains his influence, the influence that Stein had. He said, "I started to describe my own experience of higher level of consciousness, talking with people in concentration camps during the war, and the nature of the transcendent experience, and went further into studying the Grail and researched the history into the sphere of longinus." And the part of this introduction, and I'll just go on to another subject in a moment, it said, when the Reichsfuhrer, SS Heinrich Himmler, ordered Dr. Stein's arrest in Stuttgart in 1933, he wanted to press him into service of the SS occult bureau. They had their own occult bureau because he had studied about the spear and the history and legend behind it. But Dr. Stein escaped from Germany. He was taken to Britain and became the most authoritative knowledge of the occultism of the Nazi party. And in this book, it tells how Hitler, who was young, he was an artist, 24 years old, went to the Habsburg treasure house to visit. He was killing some time on a certain day, and he was looking at the treasures there of the Habsburg dynasty, and he was cynical about them and about the dynasty itself. And then there was a museum tour guide who was talking to foreign politicians at the museum. And this book continues, the foreigner stopped almost immediately in front of where I was standing. This is Hitler writing Mein Kampf, while their guide pointed to an ancient spearhead. At first, I didn't even bother to listen to what the expert had to say about it, merely regarding the presence of the party as an intrusion in the privacy of my own despairing thoughts that day. And then I heard the words which were to change my whole life. In quotes, the tour guide said, there is a legend associated with this spear that went into the body of Christ, that whoever claims it and solves its secrets holds the destiny of the world in his hands for good or evil. Now, Barbara Honegger said she believed when she was in Washington working at the White House that I mentioned before it was Annapolis. She said The Spear of Destiny. This spear was taken from Europe after the war and is at West Point, where our American military is now. And that would also explain why the West Point nursery schools, the daycare centers, the top joint chiefs, NATO officials are training little children for the Nazism of the future into the Reich while they're very little, and teaching them human sacrifices, and then the adults going to Himmler's castle. And if Himmler is alive, and if this one non-commissioned officer didn't bury him, it makes the whole story even more sinister. Now, in the book Nazis Go Underground, which I've mentioned many, many times on this program, I just want to make one reference, because the planning of going underground was Heinrich Himmler. I doubt if he would let himself be arrested by the Americans after planning the departure of him and Bormann and the top Nazis after World War II. And, of course, that book begins, The Nazis Went Underground, May 16, 1943. In May of 1943, the Gestapo, and that is one of Heinrich Himmler's organizations, was definitely put in charge of the entire preparatory work for the Nazi underground after the war. And again, in 1943, Alan Dulles was over there in Bern, Switzerland, with Himmler's top aides, and particularly SS Karl Wolff. And Mr. Goebbels, the Minister of Propaganda, began doing something for Himmler, getting ready for the next transition stage. And Dr. Goebbels decided by the end of 1943, and that gave them 2 years now before the war is over, to distribute 4 million picture postcards showing smiling Himmler talking to children. This would prove that he is a human being, even as you and I. And remember all the pictures of Adolf Hitler leaning down with Eva Braun with little children, how important that is, the little children. That was all planned, so you wouldn't think of him as a devil later. You'd think of him as loving children, and it is the little children that are being taken in to the daycare centers on the military bases around the country and in private nursery schools, and being taught. One little boy up in the Bay Area, 3 years old, giving the goose step and the arm up in the air. Well, he's complaining that his penis is sore, and possibly he's already had a vasectomy because of needles into his testicles. This is going on in the United States of America. My goal, I think, if I have one for 1988, is to pursue the links from nursery school and tiny children to the Defense Department, to the highest military, the links of Oliver North, possibly with the Delta Force, absolutely with Michael Aquino. How far are we going to go? And maybe the answer would be in demanding that the body, the grave, be opened of where Himmler is, and find this non-commissioned officer if he's alive. If he isn't, he's the only person on whose shoulders it rests that Himmler is dead. And if the papers of the United Nations were opened up this past week and the Himmler's name was among the papers of the war criminals, then they didn't think he was dead, because they wouldn't have sent the name of every dead Nazi over here. Those were live people that were being protected, and his name was among those. And of all the names, there are hardly any mentioned in all the news stories, the UN papers and files, except Heinrich Himmler's, and his were sent back to Germany. Why did they even come here if he was dead in 1945? Now, last week, changing the subject for the next 10 minutes, last week I talked about the neutron bomb because of the summit and the meeting of President Reagan with Mr. Gorbachev, and how I believe and know from papers in Germany that the atomic warheads are being replaced with neutron bombs. And I wanted to update you on a couple of items on the neutron bomb, because that also is so important because of what it does and the implications of the neutron bomb that I talk about quite a bit. The Washington Post, December the 11th, has a long article on the trial of Mr. Vanunu, Mordecai Vanunu, in Israel, because he allegedly told the world about Israeli's nuclear capability. But as I've said before, in the London Times, he talked about the neutron capability, the neutron bombs that Israel had, and he was kidnapped and sent to Israel 2 days before the London Times story broke, 3 weeks after the explosion at Cameroon that I believed Israel had tested the neutron bomb. And the need for sequestering Vanunu is because Israel doesn't want the responsibility for killing 1,200 or more people in Cameroon while they were testing for the United States. They said they don't want to be fall guy for the Iran-Contra story. And here is a little account in the Washington Post of the trial of Vanunu as it's taking place. We've heard about the Gulag and the Soviet Union. Let me ask you if this is a democracy in Israel and what is going on and what is their secret. The article is titled Israel's Secret Treason Trial, Public Kept in the Dark About the Case Involving Nuclear Technician. In Jerusalem, a bus every morning with whitewashed windows pulls into an alley. A handcuffed man emerges. He's whisked by the guards into doors where they're locked. The windows are blocked with plywood. Nobody can see him from when he leaves until when he goes back to wherever he's kept. In the dark, heavily guarded chamber, the secret trial of Mordecai Vanunu has reconvened after a three-month adjournment. Not only has the state hung a curtain of secrecy over the trial, it has censored local wire service press reporting in an attempt to eliminate virtually any reference to Vanunu's line of defending himself or to the testimony of any single witness. Under Israel's press laws, the military censor can order the suppression of information that they think is damaging to state security. The prosecution and defense are under legal gag orders. Defense witnesses have been told they would be prosecuted. If they discuss their testimony with anybody, they will be prosecuted. Vanunu's brother Asher said he and his other brother Meyer were warned by police that they would face legal charges and be arrested for allegedly disclosing to reporters how their brother was returned to Israel. And we know he was injected with a drug and kidnapped in Rome, taken out of London and sequestered from Rome to Israel. They would be arrested if they tell how he got to Israel or if they portray their brother in a sympathetic light to the press, like he's a nice guy or he means well or he wanted peace. If they make their brother sympathetic to the press, they can be prosecuted as criminals themselves. Vanunu has revealed about Israel's weapons capability, according to the Washington Post, to a dozen. They have a dozen or more atomic bombs. In fact, it is more sophisticated. What he's saying is that Israel's capability includes 100 hydrogen and neutron, as well as atomic devices. There's the word neutron that came out in the London Times, the neutron bomb. That story came out 3 weeks after the Cameroon testing. He smuggled photographs and data out of Israel, gave them to the London Sunday Times. The prosecution has completed its case. They focused on his subsequent confession. Now his lawyers arguing on why he took the secrets of Israel's nuclear bomb program. Israel's refused to submit to the International Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, nor will it allow international inspection of their nuclear facilities. Mr. Vanunu has requested two people from the Israeli government to testify at his trial. One is Ada Eben, chairman of the parliament's influential foreign affairs, and the other is Foreign Minister Shimon Peres, who was prime minister when the Vanunu case broke last fall and who reportedly ordered Israel's Mossad spy agency to get him back to Israel. And it was Shimon Peres who flew into Cameroon as soon as the bomb went off, I believe it was a neutron bomb and not a gas out of the lake, and he came in with 17 doctors, and he ordered Vanunu arrested and kidnapped and taken to Israel, where he hasn't been seen or heard since. And Mr. Vanunu wants Shimon Peres to testify at the trial. He picked him up before the London Sunday Times broke about Israel's capability with a neutron bomb. He is escorted by police. They slap him around. They slap his brothers around. They mock them verbally. They attempt to make them emotional and unstable during the testimony and beat him up and humiliate him so he'll look silly. The defense has challenged the lid of secrecy. He had to go in with some kind of a device over his mouth, so if he spoke up to the press, they wouldn't hear him. He wore a large mouth guard to prevent him from calling to a reporter, and a shrill siren was sounded when he entered and left the courthouse, similar to Ronald Reagan's helicopter, so he can't answer questions before and after going to Camp David and returning. Now, back in my files in 1985, I had an article which I was referring to that came out in Germany in 1987. It's titled French Bigwigs in Pacific for Neutron Warhead Test. And then it has to do with a vessel named Greenpeace, a replacement for the Rainbow Warrior that was sunk by the French Secret Service. The Rainbow Warrior was to have led a flotilla of boats to Maurua to protest the French nuclear testing. And as I said before, the German newspapers now are calling the testing a neutron bomb. It was a neutron bomb that was tested down there. And I had this among my articles in 1985. It's 1987 in Germany, and they're talking about the testing of the neutron bomb by the French down in the South Pacific. And also this morning's paper had a story, H-bombs may be in the sea off Greenland. And Denmark is suing the United States for $111 million because a United States strategic bomber crashed in 1968 and is leaving. It was a hydrogen bomb that had exploded under the sea, and it is causing cancer and ill effects. People are getting radiation poisoning off the sea in Greenland. And this is... This went down in 1968. Israel has the hydrogen bomb and the neutron bomb, but we also had a neutron bomb that went off, a hydrogen rather, off of Greenland that's causing cancer. And if they couldn't photograph or see it, which the Danish television did, they could blame for generations to come the Russians with Chernobyl and say the cancer came from the Chernobyl explosion. It actually came from the United States hydrogen bomb, which has been located and is leaking and causing radiation up in that part of the world, and we're actually contaminating the waters with this kind of material. Well, this is enough for this particular hour. I think the occult and Himmler and these stories will blend together more and more as I begin to lift a veil in my own mind, to see things just a little more clearly to what I had before, to reread it and put it with new material coming out and finding explanations for things that were happening but couldn't be explained before. And when you understand that the judges and Winston Churchill forbid the mentioning of the occult during the Nuremberg trials, you have to wonder how high up this is and how many of them are part of the actual occultism or members of groups that are protecting the worship of Satan and the Third Reich and the things that Heinrich Himmler believed in. This is May Brussel, and this is the conclusion of this particular part of the broadcasting. The previous hour of World Watchers was made possible in part by Aries Art in the heart of Capitola Village, serving Santa Cruz's growing consciousness for 20 years.
What have you done?